Well, your statement is certainly fair because I hear that perception all the time. The perception itself, I won't call it unfair, but I don't think it's accurate. You know, a few examples I would point to in terms of how the FAR gets held up as a boogeyman, but in reality can enable you to do whatever you need to get done in terms of procuring innovative technological solutions, as opposed to being the barrier that impedes you from doing that. You just need to, I mean, you talked about reading the FAR and, you know, there are 53 parts and all that.
It's great reading.
It is, yes. It puts my kids to sleep very quickly. You don't need to get past part one, where it says if something you want to do comports with sound business judgment and is not expressly forbidden in the book, you can do it. Not, hey, if we haven't told you exactly how to do it, don't do it. It's the opposite. Now, how the FAR is frequently read by, you know, general counsel's offices or risk-averse contracting shops or other places is too frequently in the, ooh, I don't know, it doesn't say exactly how to do it, I probably shouldn't. And I understand where that comes from, because in this town, far too frequently you get punished if you try something innovative that doesn't work, and rarely rewarded if you try something innovative that does. But the FAR itself isn't the impediment there. Now, recognizing, though, the reality of the perception you outline, there have been a lot of efforts over the past few years to try to hold up elements of the FAR that help technologists get the tools and services that you all need, such as the recent issuance of the Tech FAR. I would point to that for anybody who hasn't seen it. It's not actually a Tech FAR. There's nothing new in it. It's just going through the FAR and pulling out those, you know, clauses and parts that are appropriate in showing you how you're actually enabled and empowered to do agile, innovative procurement. And then actually when I was at OMB, the second piece of guidance that I put out was co-signed by myself and Steve Van Rokel, the Chief Information Officer, around how to do modular development and asking people to do modular contracting. So when we go out and buy these big systems, we're not throwing a Hail Mary pass every time, which Tom Brady being 2-for-18 yesterday and passes further than 15 yards downfield says even the best quarterbacks don't complete a lot of those long passes.
Instead, not that you're bitter.
No.
Okay.
Let's divide these implementations and big IT buys into smaller, discrete chunks and then operate in an agile, modular way. And so there are a lot of efforts going into showing and demonstrating to the community how the FAR and everyone in the policy world's attitude is one of supporting and enabling innovation and innovative approaches to technology and procurement of technology, but we've got to do more.
Caitlin, there are pockets of that kind of innovation all across government. 18F at your agency is one example of that. Industry was a little spooked when 18F first came out. There's still, I understand, an education process where you're working with industry and saying, we're not here to take your place. We're here to facilitate what's going on between what you have to offer and what agencies have missions where they're going to need that technology. How is that education process going, especially on the agency end, where Sean and some of his colleagues may be saying, we can't eat this technology up and innovation up fast enough. We need it, and the budget pressures are crushing us in such a way that we need it even faster than before.
Yeah, so I think it's been going really well, but mostly because the agencies who are already on board with this have been kind of flocking to 18F, yeah. So we have more business than we could ever fulfill. And a lot of what we've been doing recently is showing agencies, you know, you can procure technology in an agile or modular fashion, and getting a contractor to do that is only half of the story. The program team itself has to be knowledgeable on how to run an agile development process. So they have to know how to do user-centered research and how to translate that to product guidelines. And so showing agencies how to do that, running workshops on how to do that, is actually one of the services that 18F offers. So we act as a consultancy for, I think the current working title is Agile Assisted Acquisition. So we're running workshops and kind of piloting that with other agencies to see how we can show them how this works. You know, this is a practice that has been in software development for decades. One of the other things we're doing is definitely evangelizing the use of open source software. And everything that 18F itself does open source. So any agency that we partner with, we're doing open source once the projects become finalized. And that prevents vendor lock-in. It prevents you from being kind of, you know, let's say your vendor goes out of business. It prevents you from having to spend money on rescuing that software. Everything is open and in the public domain. And it also comes at this problem of leveraging the same resources across multiple agencies. You know, if we build one thing at GSA and that works really great, it's open source, they could have internal staff build that if they want to. But we don't, we compete, I'd say, with the private industry on certain things, which is that if you can't do agile and if you can't deliver test-driven software that works, then for sure we are competing with you. But I think that's a healthy competition.
I want to come back to that cultural thing in a minute because I think that's really important. Frank, you are an advocate of agile, kind of an agile approach to the whole idea of changing the acquisition process. And I've talked to your boss, Kim McCabe, about the very same thing. What does that look like? And does someone who understands an agile approach to a project development understand then the concept of an agile approach to acquisition reform?
Absolutely. I think there's no panacea solution that we're going to find. You talk about Hail Mary passes. I mean, fixing a procurement would be like a Hail Mary pass thrown by four different quarterbacks to 20 receivers. I mean, there's so much involvement and interest in this. We should take it one step at a time. I sort of ascribe to the theory of constraints that says, find the first impediment, solve that, and then go to the next. I think that's consistent with agile, the agile approach. And if we could all sort of have a guiding light or a North Star to at least work towards, then I think we can measure our progress, see what works, course correct, and keep going.
How important is it for us to agree on what the North Star should be, though, before we move forward or as we move along this path wherever it takes us?
I think it would be nice to think that we could agree on one North Star, but, you know, it doesn't have to be. The North Star is the North Star, right? But the paths that you can take to get there are different and will be consistent with your agency's requirements or the work that you do. I don't think we'll ever agree on anything, and nor should we strive to do that. But I think we should have some general sense of direction, and that's progress.
Sean, are we in danger of using Agile as kind of a buzzword or a cool term, and it's hot for a while, and then people try it, and it doesn't work for every single thing, so people say, well, it doesn't work. I mean, this is the trend that we've seen in government, not just in procurement, for probably since 1787. I haven't been around that long, but...
I was about to say, you look great for your age. it's a whole lot of messages in this, though. I mean, so in regards to the whole agile approaches, right? That's the buzzword that's new right now, right? But in essence, when you look at the essence of what agile means, it's really the module in the PMP, right? Progressive Elaboration, or what have you, where you break the project down in incremental chunks and execute it a chapter at a time, mm-hmm. right? So it's the new thing. And the interesting thing is, with any of the change and the, from my perspective, change is opportunity. And, you know, with risk comes opportunity, and that's change. That's opportunities for innovation, for you to do some different things. So, and you have to deal with this different per agency. So first thing is you have to look at your agency to understand where is your agency from the perspective of its ability to be able to even speak the language to be able to understand change, right? Because when you understand what that means, you're going to talk differently, right? Because from my perspective, remove technology from the discussion. If innovation is a word of concern within the agency, don't talk about it like that, right? What I'm saying is it comes back to the people. It's the people that enable things like the FAR, right, which is fine, right? But the thing is how you interpret it. If you look at it like removing technology from the equation, saying I have problems that I have to solve, right? I have a program of work that I'm working with, that I have appropriation for, and with that I have to execute, and with that I have risk and issues and what have you, guess what? All of those are projects, rather it be operational projects or projects based on clear beginning, clear end, you know what I mean, and managing risk and a budget and time and what have you, right? So in essence, and the mitigation to those risk and issues is going to be things like technological solutions, which you're going to either have to purchase, or it's going to be people, or what have you. it's more or less talking in that language is what breaks down the barriers. So now within the agency, people can actually speak at the language of business without being challenged and impacted by, because as soon as you say like innovation and agile, right, some people can shut down.
Yep.
As soon as you say cloud or what have you, people, depending on the agency, right, can't do that, security, right? We have to do it our way. We're so different that we must do things our way, right? All of that, if you focus on the people side of the organization and start to talk at that level about the business and what is it that we're trying to do and where are we going, right? All of that conversation changes because now you say, this is how we can get there, right? Meaning there are BPAs that you can actually leverage, right? But you have to look at, now you say, this is our requirement. Now, what can't we get out of this, right? Because now we're not talking 18 months. Now we're talking much, much less. So I think it's a people deal, actually looking for evangelists within the organization and people that can help to transform the minds of people. And that's a challenge because people, that's the hard problem, mm-hmm. right? You know, to actually get through contracting processes, it's how I interpret it and how I can articulate that within my agency. So, I mean, I think it's all possible. I mean, everyone here, this is all great stuff. I mean, but at the end of the day, we have to come back to the people, right? And that's what changes things. That's interesting when you look at some of the, you know, workforce planning types of deals to get people's minds to understand, you know, how I need to think, especially in a 21st century government way of looking at things.